We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One question, do I feel lucky?
Trolling, trolling, polling. Keep those hot takes flowing. Never really knowing which way the wind is blowing. He's trolling, trolling, bowling. Trolling, trolling, bowling.
Go ahead. Make my day.
It's time now for...
They call you Trolling Volin? You look like it.
Trolling Volin.
Who the hell is Ben Volin anyway?
I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
It's the Ben Volin Football Hour.
Herp derp, like I get it.
On WEEI.
Well, it's not been a great start to the Ben Volin Football Show. Let's put it that way. Last week, it was our fault. We had him in here, but the side studio was not functioning correctly, so it was you and Danny from Quincy for the first 10 minutes of the
right.
show.
Not good.
Then we did okay. Then Volin texts us today. He's not feeling well. First time he's been sick in a year. We said, okay, let's try to do a phone hit anyway to fulfill the Ben Volin need out there.
He was at a kegger at Bob Holler's house last night.
He said, I'll try, but put your finger on the dump button in case I start vomiting again.
Oh, so that's God.
Just, that sounds disgusting. But here he is on the Harbor One Hotline, Ben Volin. Ben, this is your show. What's happening?
Yeah, that last part was not supposed to be read on air there, Kenny.
Oh, okay. But,
out of stake for everyone back home. Chris, yeah, I don't know how you got word, but that was supposed to be a secret. We had a big kegger at Bob Holler's house last night.
I'm doing an investigative piece on it.
So what,
yeah, this is not good. I won't get into too many details, but I'm feeling it today, boys, and I hope it's not what we all think it is.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
Do you think that's the case?
I don't know, man. It's like anytime you get a sniffle, now you think it, and I've got a lot more than a sniffle today. So, more importantly than this, I had to cancel sledding with my kids this morning. So you know I'm really sick.
Jeez. I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, have you been feeling good all week? It just hit you today.
Literally hit me at like 3 in the morning. So,
but you were partying with Fitzy in Florida, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. Maybe I got one of those new strains. I don't know. Maybe it has like a really super duper long incubation period or something. I'd like to blame Fitzy for this, even if he's not to blame. So I'd like to blame him for this.
I agree with that. Now, okay, we're not going to keep you long because I know you're not feeling well. But just summarize the week. What would we have been talking about on the Ben Volin Football Show? Give me a 60-minute content boiled down to like a couple hot takes in 2 minutes.
Boy, you're really putting me on the spot here.
we did a lot of prep for the show too, I see.
Yeah, I mean, hot takes. I mean, you guys are the question askers here, not me. I mean, when in doubt, talk quarterback. And the big news this week was Carson Wentz. And not surprised to see the Patriots not make a play for him. Too expensive, given how bad he played last year. So, you know, the other interesting thing is Deshaun Watson seems to be getting really anxious, like frustrated that, you know, Wentz asks for a trade and he gets out, and Matt Stafford asks for a trade and he gets out, and Deshaun Watson can't. The Texans are squatting on him. They have no interest in trading him. His private quarterback coach went on Twitter and, you know, he had a tweet that said, like, how do we request a trade and actually get it accomplished, asking for a friend? So I think there, you know, you might see Deshaun Watson start throwing bigger temper tantrums because he really wants out, and what he's been doing so far isn't working.
Yeah, I mean, how does that resolve? I don't see any way that Caserio can make that work, do you? And if he can't, doesn't he have to trade him before the draft for the maximum value?
I would think he definitely has to trade him before the draft, so that's probably the cutoff point because you don't want to go into the season with – I mean, I guess if you made the trade in July, you'd still get a haul. You just have to wait a year to assume those picks. I don't know. I get the feeling that Caserio might want to squat on it. You know, make make Deshaun Watson make the decision for him. Like, is Watson really going to hold out and cost himself some money? And, you know, we're talking upwards of $10 million, I think, for this year that, you know, Watson would have to cost himself with fines and missed paychecks and stuff. So, you know, I talked to someone close to Caserio the other day, and he was kind of complaining about Watson, you know, why this guy signed the big contract just, you know, 5 months ago or whatever, when he doesn't want to be here. And, you know, if you start letting, you know, giving in to everyone's demands and everyone's just going to request a trade. So I'm starting to think that maybe Watson, you know, that the Texans, you know, make him, you know, play it out and, you know, kind of put him to the test. Is he really going to sit out and hold out and cost himself millions and millions of dollars?
We had Dan Wetzel on earlier, Ben, and we were talking quarterbacks and college QBs. The Field Yates tweet from earlier this week discussing the quarterbacks from 09 through 2016, no first-round quarterbacks drafted in that group that are still with the team that drafted them. Burt Breer had a similar tweet just now. Why is it so difficult? Why do all these first-round quarterbacks suck?
I mean, that's probably a little too harsh there, Kenny. Matt Stafford spent, 12 seasons in Detroit? So I feel like if you're drafting a quarterback first overall, you hope to have him for a decade. And they didn't win many games, but that's the Detroit Lions for you. I don't know if that's on Stafford necessarily. Now, the more recent history, like 2015 and 2016, was abominable. 2015 was when you saw Goff and Mariota go 1-2, and 16, and 15 was when I'm all messed up today. The virus is getting to my head.
Oh, geez.
16 was Goff and Wentz. 15 was
Ryan Leaf.
Yes, Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning, Winston and Mariota. So, you go back and look at the 2016 draft. There was a third first round pick, Paxton Lynch. He was a bust. There was a second round pick, Christian Hackenberg. He was a major bust. The only quarterback that did anything that year were Jacoby Brissett in the third round and Dak Prescott in the fourth round. So, you know, I think it just kind of gives you pause. It's we always say, like, you got to reach for the quarterback. Well, you know, overdrafting a quarterback could, you know, destroy your program and you know, ruin, you know, get a coach fired. So, you know, I don't think the Patriots definitely don't have to take a quarterback in 15. And if they like a guy, but they would have to trade up to do it, I don't know if you necessarily do it, because the history of first round quarterbacks, far more misses than hits right now. And, you know, it's probably has to do with the lack of practice time in the off season. And it's just hard to evaluate guys from college to pros. So, I'd be just fine with the Patriots if they used the 15th pick on a position player, but then got a quarterback in the second or third round. There's definitely no guarantee that quarterback would work out, but, you know, there's less pressure and less hype and less of a financial commitment as well. So with the Patriots kind of being in no man's land right now at 15, I think you have to look at the recent history of quarterbacks and tell the Patriots, you know, don't force it.
No man's land is a perfect description for where your Patriots find themselves today, Ben Volen. And I believe that this is the most important three-month stretch in Belichick's tenure as Patriots GM and head coach. This offseason is their last shot for another 2 years to get a quarterback in the draft, because next year there's one guy named, like, Billy Bob Howell at UNC. There is nobody next year, and everybody, it feels like, this season needs a quarterback. So what the hell is Bill going to do?
Yeah, but I wouldn't pay too much attention to what the draftniks are saying about next year's class. I mean, how many people were talking about Zach Wilson this time a year ago, and now he's getting all the hype? And
We were talking about Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields for a while.
Sure. Fields, I wouldn't touch. I don't know. Urban Meyer quarterbacks always scare me. And Lawrence, I don't know. I mean, he's getting a ton of hype. It's almost not fair to him, all the hype that he's getting. You know, I wouldn't pay too much attention to what they're saying about next year's class. I mean, Russell Wilson was a third round. Jimmy Garoppolo, you'd never heard of him. So there's always going to be prospects, and that's really more about the coaching that he gets anyway. And I disagree with you, too. This is not the most important offseason in his career. I mean, how about, like, 2008, 2009, when he had to retool the Patriots, and they still had only won three titles at that point? And,
right.
You know, there was talk about, you know, are they going to, you know, continue to be a dynasty? So, you know, and I would think that the 2000 and 2001 off seasons were pretty darn important too. I mean, Belichick, he thought he was going to get fired after 5-11 and then an 0-2 start, and then Bledsoe gets hurt. So I know it makes for good talk radio there, Curtis, but I don't agree that this is his most important offseason.
Okay, but you didn't answer the question. What is he going to do? If you had to guess right now, a quarterback, what is Bill going to do? Is he going to draft someone in the first round or trade for a guy?
No, I think he's going to sign a guy and then draft someone in like the second or third round. And I know they don't have a third round pick until the compensatory picks at the end.
Yeah, so, what happened to their third round pick?
Spygate 2. They set up shop in the Bengals press box. Yeah,
they were cheating.
Not a
at
good
the
move.
Bengals.
Hey, they beat them. You know,
that's
they had
true.
I think they had two pick sixes of Andy Dalton that day, so it was well worth it.
Oh, speaking of Dalton, so who will they sign? Dalton, Fitzpatrick.
I think Fitzpatrick is the answer. Yeah. I think he's clearly the answer. He's the cheapest as far as, you know, you might have to pay him $10 or $12 million, but that's, you know, less than Mariota, and you don't have to give up a draft pick for him. And to me, Fitzpatrick is just like the perfect seat warmer as far as, you know, he can be a great leader and he knows your offense and he can be a teacher and you don't have to worry about his ego too much. And you can sit the young kid behind him, you know, what the Chiefs had with Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes. So I think they draft a quarterback in the second round. And, you know, if you're looking at Mariota, if you're looking at Cam Newton, I mean, to me, Fitzpatrick is clearly the answer. He's the best combination of finances. And I think he's still a pretty good player. And I think the Dolphins did him dirty last year. He should have been their quarterback, not Tua.
Now, what
so
about?
I would like to see him complete his AFC East tour and come to New England.
I agree. That's the smartest thing you've said.
Well, so what about Cam? You don't buy any of the Cam. Was that a trial balloon from the Patriots through the media that was happening earlier in the week?
So I think it's accurate that they haven't closed the door on Cam. And, you know, what happens if Fitzpatrick goes and signs with another team? And, you know, I think they're just keeping their options open. They liked Cam. I mean, Belichick was raving about him every week, or almost every day this past season. But, you know, physically, I just don't think he's there anymore. So I think they're keeping the door open just in case, like, disaster hits and they need a veteran quarterback, because they're not just going to hand the job to Stidham or to whichever draft pick, you know, they take. They want a veteran in that position. So I think there is some truth to that, that they haven't closed the door on Cam. But to me, that's a worst-case scenario because just, you know, he can't throw anymore. We saw his shoulder strength, his arm strength just wasn't there this year. I think there was a Hail Mary where it landed on like 10-yard line or something. Like, they just can't go in. They can't go into another season where they're just non-functional in the passing game like they were this year. So that's how I see the Cam Newton situation playing out.
Two last ones for me, and textures are very upset that we put you through this. They made you like do the show sick from your bed next to the vomit bucket. But anyway, two last ones. Any truth to the Trubisky? Brand X, I believe Zoe had said there's some heat there, some smoke. Trubisky to the Pats.
I mean, again, I could see it just because value. I mean, that's the Patriots' favorite word. Trubisky's not going to get a big free agent contract by any stretch. I don't know. He's not your answer. If you sign Trubisky, it's really just, to me, it's to compete with Stidham to be the backup. You can't sell to the fan base. You know, I said this last week, too, like, you really want to sell to the fan base, hey, our new quarterback's the guy that the Bears didn't want. I mean, if he's not good enough for the Bears, he's definitely not good enough for the Patriots. And you know, Trubisky had his moments at times. He's a good athlete, but I don't know how good he is at, like, playing quarterback, at, you know, reading the defense and making adjustments before and after the snap. You know, he ran circles around the Patriots in that game in 2018, and they still beat him comfortably. Belichick had no issues, you know, trying to slow down Mitchell Trubisky. And usually we see with Belichick that he likes the guys that give him trouble. You know, he likes the guys that give him a lot of problems, but Trubisky was never that guy. So again, I think they haven't closed the door on anyone, but Mitchell Trubisky is definitely not their answer at quarterback.
Okay. Then the second one is Hunter Henry's quotes, the Sirius radio, that I want to play somewhere where there's a good quarterback. How significant is that kind of a statement?
Significant. That puts the Patriots behind the eight ball because we don't know who their quarterback's going to be. And when Hunter Henry wants to sign, you know, right around the start of free agency, I don't think we're going to know who the Patriots quarterback is, or it certainly won't be locked in. I still think money talks. And if the Patriots came to Hunter Henry and had some crazy, you know, the best offer and it was a ridiculous deal, I mean, Belichick's still a good coach. I still think people want to play for him. So I do think Henry would come here if the Patriots had the top offer. But other than, like, Stephon Gilmore and, you know, maybe like a Darius Thomas back in the day, when have the Patriots ever really had the top offer. So that's what I would say about Hunter Henry. But if you're going to spend money on a guy, that's the one. I mean, you need tight end production badly.
Well, they got two in the third round last year. Aren't they going to be good? CIC and whatever his name is?
He's coming around.
I would hope that one of them does take a step this year, you know, the big second-year leap. And like, we got to be fair. I mean, it was a COVID year. They had no off-season. The Patriots offense is tough to learn.
They don't know how to catch the ball.
I'll give them a pass for a rookie year. Like, I remember being really disappointed in Jamie Collins, his rookie year. He barely got on the field. And then his second year, he was outstanding.
Damian Harris is the best example of that.
That's a good one, too. And he probably would have been good his first year if he gotten the opportunity. But I don't think they felt comfortable with how he knew the offense then. But, yeah, I mean, Hunter Henry would be the guy I would spend money on. They need tight end badly.
All right, Ben, we'll get out on this. I'm just curious, if you had to predict status quo or legitimate changes to how the Patriots approach free agency, what would you pick?
I think legitimate changes, because I feel like status quo is just from the past 2 years where they let everyone walk and they didn't spend any money. And there are spending minimums in the NFL, and you got to start spending money at some point. And they don't really have, you know, other than maybe like Joe Tooney and Adam Butler, they don't have many guys, you know, who they have like free agents that they can spend money on. So, yeah, I do think like receiver especially, I really would like to see them go get Chris Godwin or Juju Smith-Schuster, go get a number one receiver. They've got a bunch of threes and fours on their team, and you can't draft. It's hard to draft the one right away. So I would sign a wide receiver immediately. And I do think they're going to spend some money. I think Belichick definitely was feeling the heat a little bit. Like, he heard all the chatter that Brady won, and he's never won without Brady. And he said it, like, they used last year to get their finances in order. So now, for Belichick, they should be ready to strike. So I do think they're going to spend some money this year.
All right, Ben, you are the embodiment of no days off. Feel better. We appreciate you coming on, toughing it out.
Hey, anything for you, boys.
All right. Thanks, Benny.
We'll be back at it next week, I hope. We'll see if that COVID test comes back. Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, man.
See you, boys.
All right, see ya. That's Ben Volen on his own show on the telephone. If he dies, it will have been well worth it to come on for
absolutely.
20 minutes. At least do one last.
I wonder which Globy actually throws the parties. It's definitely not Holler. Shaughnessy's there, but it's not at his house.
Okay.
I mean, who do you think at the Globe? Is it, you know? Is it
a firecracker at the Globe?
I mean, maybe Pete Aves. Maybe he has big parties.
I think so. I can't even name Globies off the top of my head. Who's like their sewer, their star attractions?
Well, Dupes is like by the fire telling stories. Gary Washburn is, you know,
Washburn's the
man of the hour.
I agree. I want to get into, first of all, this Breer tweet. He just pretty much stole it, but then I'm reading Volen's notes, and he wrote the same thing. So Field Yates put this tweet out about the quarterbacks from 09 through 2016. You know, no first-round picks are still with their team. Volen wrote about it, and then Breer it was literally the same tweet. So it's shameless. But I guess Breer adds to it. He says, the longest-tenured first-round quarterbacks, Roethlisberger, 2004, still with this team, although strange situation there.
Yeah, what is happening? Is he going to be back?
I think they're hoping he retires. I think he's like seeing if they're going to pay him enough money to make it worth it.
Is he beloved? Is he like Bradshaw? Is he?
I don't think so. Especially no. It's been a bad last decade, you know. They've underperformed. Rodgers, 2005, still there, of course. Matt Ryan, 2008. That's cooled off. Is that just not happening? Atlanta can't get rid of him, so they're keeping him?
He has, I think it's a $41 million cap hit. I mean, I don't know. But it's amazing. These teams, whether it was the Seahawks, who have remained somewhat relevant but not gotten back to a Super Bowl, when they lose with the Butler pick, then you have the Falcons 28-3 debacle. They're just gone. Like, that team was on the 99.9% chance of winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And they haven't sniffed a big game since.
Arthur Blank's sideline appearance, all downhill from there.
Crazy.
Mahomes, obviously, and Watson, 2017. Plus, Trubisky right now is still with his team, but there was the buzz on that was he's gone. He wanted no part of staying there. I can't see him being I think Volen's right. I can't see Bill trying to sell Trubisky as the answer either, but maybe small money, incentive-laden deal, something like that.
I mean, could you imagine if somehow the Dolphins get Watson? So you have Watson.
Oh.
You have
Zach Wilson from the Jets.
Zach Wilson of the Jets, and you have Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
And you're sitting there with Fitzpatrick.
That's true. That's a nightmare. That's a bad scenario. Now, coming up, what about the Patriots sitting at 15 and taking Mac Jones? That's Dan Wetzel's prediction. I want to hone in on that a little bit. Wetzel joined us in the 11 o'clock hour. How about the Pats drafting a guy at 15? Do you like it? It's the Kenny Curtis Show.
back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
You talk to different people around the league, and you will get just A to Z on opinions on Mac Jones. Some think he's going to be fantastic. He's extremely accurate, especially downfield. He's a winner. He knows how to get the ball out there. He clearly is not going to be a dual threat guy, or so do your modern QB is your old school QB. Others think, yeah, it's easy to get the ball down when you have Devonta Smith and these guys to throw it to, and everything's play action and you're surrounded by that much talent. So it's sort of pick your poison, but I would think those are really their only two options if they're waiting at 15 to make a pick. If they want to move up, they're going to have to move up possibly to the Eagles or higher. And that, so that price tag just went up to me with the movement of Carson Wentz.
That's Dan Wetzel from earlier on our show from Yahoo Sports discussing the Pats' predicament at 15. If they want to get Mac Jones, the Eagles, by the way, pick sixth. So he's saying in order to get one of the other guys, you got to get up that high to get one of those top four.
And we agree that Bill's not going to do that.
I don't see it. I mean, unless that's what they mean by aggressive.
It's just a huge, I mean, for something that Dan just described as a crapshoot, by and large, that you're going to give up that amount of capital to get one quarterback seems like a lot. But
well, but the other thing is, what would be a smart draft move from just a pure football perspective appears to be all these quarterbacks go high, three of the top receivers go high, this tight end Pitts, people are calling like the greatest, most sure thing mismatched tight end in the history of the league. He's going to go top 10, a rare year for a tight end going high. And then the best defensive player on the board might fall to New England at 15, Micah Parsons, who I can't say I watched play, but some people say he's like way ahead in the maturity department and the learning curve, and he his talent is off the charts. He's Devin White. He's like ahead of Devin White when he came out, who the Bucks took at fifth overall in 2019. So here's one guy. Micah Parsons can be a game changer. Devin White, I loved coming out of LSU. Micah is a much better prospect than him. Devin was athletic, very fast. You see it on the field. Another guy. Ray Lewis, Patrick Willis, they're the best inside linebackers in 25 years. What made them so good was their hand use. Once they got inside on a lineman, they stunned them quick and fast. They could get off the blocks and make the tackle. This guy is in that class. So people are comparing him to Ray Lewis.
Well, hopefully on the field.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he has character issues too. He was like a ringleader for the hazing scandal at Penn State last year.
Oh, hazing, but that's no big deal. Comes with Penn State. That's fine. Everybody there is involved in something.
But yes, I think that Penn State linebackers, by the way, weren't they like LBU in the old
linebacker
days?
U, of course.
But for me, the only thing that's very odd about this offseason is that there seems to be agreement among many different media outlets on two things. One is what you just described. If Parsons falls to them, they're going to take him at 15. That I think.
What if he and Jones are both there?
I think they take Jones.
I think based on the Saban connection,
right? That the upside is much higher. I mean, if you have Micah Parsons, he'll be a huge add to your defense, but that's not going to change the outcome of your season.
Well, it might actually, because then you could cut loose Hightower. I don't know the timing on that, but they could save like $10 million in cap space.
But they don't have to worry about cap space. They have plenty of cash. They're not going to, and don't worry, they're not going to be in the top 10 in spending because they never are. So in my opinion, what they will do is they'll use that. If they're both there, they're going to take the quarterback, in my opinion. But it does strike me as odd that there is uniformity of the prediction of what the Patriots are going to do, which makes me think that this is all a smokescreen.
They're going to trade out to the fifth.
Right, or do something. Like, I mean, you know, trade Kyle Duggar for his buddy at Lenoir Wine. I don't know. But this is very odd, you would agree, that we never really know what Bill's going to do. The last time I recall a member of the Boston media nailing the Patriots' first-round pick was the last time they were high, and I think it was 8 or 10, I don't remember. They had Gerard Mayo in the first round. Michael Hawley called that. Like, only person around who knew that was happening. He's close with Bill. So that was the last time I can remember that. So it would strike me odd that this is indeed what their plan is, because Bill is usually the last person to tell other people what his plan is.
Yeah, strategically, you're right about that. But so back to Mac Jones, let's say they took him. Let's say you're right, they're both there, they take Mac Jones. They don't have to move anywhere. He just falls to them right at 15. Charlie Weiss loves him. You've heard praise. Some evaluators. By the way, I was wrong earlier. I said Matt Miller, the draft guy. had him. That was about Wilson. Anyway, forget that. Some people have Wilson higher than Trevor Lawrence. Some people have Mac Jones higher than Trevor Lawrence. Point is, he falls to them. Some people will say it's a steal. Other people will be like, this guy can't move. He played on this unbelievable Alabama team, as you've pointed out over and over. No quarterback there ever succeeds. He's there with Devonta Adams.
And there's that picture that came out after the national championship game where he, with his shirt off, he looked like
Greg in the white t-shirt. it's terrible, right?
Yeah, that will be
it's
everywhere.
It's like Roethlisberger Part 2, except he can't move.
Right.
This guy's not athletic at all. I mean, it's not going to be a great sell to the fan base, but I guess he's accurate enough that there's a value in that.
Well, I mean, couldn't Bill just throw Saban under the bus if it doesn't work out?
I guess so.
I mean, we keep getting texts that this guy, Parsons, is the next Aaron Hernandez. What are we missing?
Yeah, I don't know his whole story. I mean,
maybe that's why he's falling to 15.
I guess. But so, okay, let's say he's got a bad history beyond just the ringleader at Penn State. Does that affect Bill in terms of taking him or not taking him based on character issues? He's taken a lot of troubled souls in the past.
I mean, it won't affect Bill, but I bet you it will affect the way the team's... It'll be an impact in the Boston Globe and other places that don't love Bill. They'll use it as another way to say this guy will stop at nothing to win. But I don't think it'll impact him. If he's that talented, I think you take a risk for that type of talent.
Who do the Patriots take in the draft, and how about at quarterback? 617-779-7937. This is Steve in Waltham. Hi, Steve. Steve.
Oh, hey.
How are you?
Sorry about that, guys.
That's right.
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
I wanted to find out what you guys thought about Carr and what it takes probably to get him.
I love him. That's been my pick. Wiggy agrees with me now, too. But I guess, according to some indie reporter, the Colts checked on him and they said affirm not available. But that changes if the Raiders get Deshaun Watson, obviously.
I mean, the good news is that there's a relationship there with Mayock and Belichick. Mayock's a BC guy. Belichick and Mayock got together, I think, in like 2 hours when the Raiders and release, whatever that was, the Antonio Brown situation with Oakland. So I think there's a connection
there. But in relation to how much it's going to cost or trade picks or what would it
I mean, my guess is they wouldn't trade him for less than a first-round pick at the least.
Yep. And Stafford's kind of the standard now. You know, that was 2 firsts and a player. I mean.
And Derek Carr is incredibly healthy. I mean, this guy doesn't miss any games. But there was a story on him. One thing was when I watched the Raiders a couple years ago, we're on Hard Knocks. He's very sensitive. He's kind of like, I don't know, his antenna's up. He also created a burner account on Twitter to try and defend himself. So I don't know if Boston's the perfect fit for him, but he's definitely better than Cam Newton.
So if it's a draft pick, is he under a contract right now?
Derek Carr is still under contract inside, yes.
2 years.
How long is his contract? 2 years?
2 more years, and I don't think it's guaranteed. He could go like year to year beyond this one, so... It's an interesting, you know, of course they can extend him. We'll see how that goes. Here was a published report about Micah Parsons. Parsons has a dubious history of off-field problems had at Penn State. Parsons is listed in a lawsuit as one of the individuals who harassed Isaiah Humphreys, a former Penn State player who has a lawsuit out against the school. He harassed another player.
I don't see how that compares to Aaron Hernandez.
Right. I don't know. We'll do some more digging on that, I guess.
By the way,
obviously, there's something there.
But on Derek Carr, though, like he just doesn't strike me as a guy that I understand that he'd be a better fit. I mean, I would like him as quarterback, but I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a guy that would be a fit here, a guy that could handle the coaching of Belichick. He seemed like he gets coddled out there. He was, I don't know. He's just not that mature.
He's got pretty good numbers. Like,
he's got great numbers.
Compared to Cam, you should love him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I would take you over Cam.
Which is, that's close.
I mean, if Cam Newton's the starting quarterback next year, this city will burn.
No, I won't. Again, they would give Bill another year to see it. The people would sell.
People's
the
7-9, eyes would be bleeding.
7-9, rushing touchdowns, had COVID last year, second year in the system. People would spin it that way.
Well, I know the media will, but I don't think fans will buy it. I don't.
Fitzy will join us next for a little crossover. It's the Ken and Curtis Show. Ben Volen, if you're just tuning in, got through 20 minutes. He was ill. He's vomiting today.
Yeah, he sounded awful, and he was totally not prepared at all. The first five minutes, he was basically speaking French.
Fits in on this show. But Fitzy in Florida next to get ready for the Fitzy and Mego show.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
All right, Fitzy and Mego coming up at 1 o'clock before we bring Fitzy on for a little crossover action. Tom Brady, PPP.
Oh,
should we put this to rest? Will he give the money back? The quarterback that's worth $350 million, plus his wife, is one of just a select number of famous people whose companies have benefited from a federal program giving him almost $1 million to survive the pandemic. Petition over 160,000 at change.org, give the money back. You were very outspoken about Harvard giving the money back. For some reason, just your cat got your tongue here with the Brady situation.
Okay. Harvard has a $40 to $50 billion endowment.
Yep.
They don't pay taxes on any of that. Tom Brady makes, call it $25 million, pays $12 to $13 million a year in taxes. This is a small business, under 250 people, that is employing people. And this is where that money is going.
So Brady is a small business owner.
He is.
Okay.
I mean, he is.
Okay.
Harvard isn't.
Okay.
Harvard has an endowment of $50 billion.
Brady's in a tough year, huh?
Absolutely. Listen to the crap you've been spewing at him. I mean, in all sincerity, there is so much fraud with the PPP nonsense that, like, an actual company that's paying actual employees is not of concern to me.
Just shame the game then. So the fact that he got taxpayer money that other people could have used, other small, legitimate small businesses.
So he doesn't have a legitimate small business?
He's worth $500 million plus between he and his wife.
What is that? I don't understand what that has to do with the company.
He's taking money from another small business that needed the money, that couldn't get the money. If you recall,
okay,
the first
wave. Tell me the company.
There were hundreds and hundreds. Thousands, probably.
It is
probably millions.
It is misplaced rage. You're just getting mad at a guy that's perfect, and it's tough to do. But yes, I support the people, the fine people employed at TB12, however they get their funding.
TB12 Sports, because they can't get TB12.com, because that guy nabbed it in Texas, which was great. Tremendous. And then they tried to shame him. That's unbelievable. That's a great story by Bradford. They tried to, they badgered him, his people.
That's
Brady's,
an oxymoron,
Brady's
by the way.
Henchmen tried to badger him to give the site up. All right, now Fitzy is perfect, and he joins us from Florida. A lot of buzz, though, Fitzy. Getting ready for the Fitzy and Mego show, by the way. A lot of buzz last week for the show, but also growing anger in the company that you're going to have to come back from Florida to do this show from Boston. Oh, boy, it's growing.
Got two emails today.
It would be in the best interest of Texas man to give TB12 to the GOAT as soon as possible. Thanks very much. I hang up and listen.
What's up, boys? Another spectacular Saturday sports extravaganza from my underbridge behind the plexiglass producer's box, troll pals, Kenny and Curtis. Good stuff today, guys. I actually enjoyed the Dan Wetzel spot very much. Always very informative. Somebody I feel is on the sort of like the wait list or the alt list, the backup guest list for somebody who shouldn't have to buy a beer in Boston just for his peerless reporting during the sham that was Deflategate alone. But yeah, picked up a lot on the QB scene from him as well today. Good spot.
Are you a Mac Jones guy? Because there's a lot of that buzz growing now.
You know what I've been trying to do, Ken, aside from get a decent night's sleep and work on my tan every day, has been like sift through. Curtis, you brought this up post-interview, and I thought that was a good job by you. It's a good job by you there, buddy. Good job by you.
Thank you.
Talking about the intangibles, the win factor, the it factor, the not just changing the temperature when you walk into the room, but do you have that moxie? Do you have the win at all cost mentality to be a killer like Tom Brady, like a Peyton Manning, people that just refuse to die? And I don't know if Mac Jones has that refuse to die ability that a Tom Brady or an all-time great has, but he definitely has. He almost reminds me in his sort of like, you know, his careless demeanor of an Eli Manning. Now Pats fans are probably recoiling in fear or just, you know, hanging up and turning it off and throwing up through their eyes thinking about Eli Manning right now.
No, that's just Volan.
Okay. But he does that naturally anyways. That's the Volan purge. That's what you do to try to prevent getting studio COVID. How many plexiglass barriers did he have to do the show from behind last week?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Ken, like, literally reorganized the entire studio. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, just talking to nobody. Danny and I, anyway, but yeah, I think that's a good point on Mac Jones. I think he, he doesn't strike me as a guy where everything's been difficult to get to. And I think that that's sort of what shaped Brady, in that he was on the best team. He had the best wide receivers. He had the greatest coach of all time, and he won a national championship. That's sort of like, that's what happened.
And everyone always says, yeah, served on a silver spoon. We've heard as much about Zach Wilson as well, that he came from a privileged life. But now people are going over the moon about him because of the Patrick Mahomes-like comparisons, moves so well, throws in the run, different arm slots and crazy deliveries. I think he's a winner too. But I don't know if I ever told you guys this during my glorious stint on the morning show, but my best friend in college is a teacher and also went to the school where all the Manning boys went. And so my best friend, my college best friend's younger brother, Walker, was good friends with Eli. And they knew the family well and they hung out a bunch. And the thing was, the mom always said Peyton was the brain and the biggest pain in the ass. But her favorite, and the one that they trusted all the family decisions to, because he just has this casual indifference yet can deliver in the clutch, was Eli. And maybe Mac Jones has that something about him where it's just like he doesn't get phased or bothered. He just moves and throws and processes things at a high rate of speed and is like sneaky smart. Like, we've all been to parties with someone who we think is like kind of a dodo. Like, you know, like we'll say Greg Hill. And then it turns out and turns out like, oh, wow, you're way smarter than I may have given you credit for. That may be Mac Jones. Maybe behind the plate of 10 chocolate chip cookies that he puts down every night. Maybe Mrs. Fields is actually pretty smart. So I would take him if we could get him, Ken, but I don't think Bill goes quarterback first.
Well, you've been doing this series for Bradfoe, the GM, Fitzy GM, cap, whatever it is.
Armchair GM.
GM. Has Micah Parsons come up? Because, God, we discussed him. He's mocked to the Patriots in a lot of these drafts, and the text line was a flutter with Aaron Hernandez comp.
Yeah, I had never heard that, but I guess it's everywhere that he has questions off the field.
Yeah, no, he would go top five. There are some draft, just pure talent evaluators that think he might be the best player on the board, period, or could be a top five talent. The problem is there are those character concerns. Now, if we're not talking about, like, you know, a bevy of buried stories from bar scenes where Tebow had to save Hernandez, selfies with Glocks and multiple weapons, Aaron Hernandez never should have been drafted, period. I don't know if Micah Parsons is that bad, but there are enough people now banging the drum. You have to think, right, given the way the Patriots got burned so badly with Hernandez, that if a talent like that comes around, they'd have to. I mean, look at do you guys, Ken, we were on the air last April. Do you remember the immediate brushback and the sound and fury that came with Justin Rohrwasser's drafting and his 3%er tattoo? It's
incredible.
Yeah, just
he
that
never
alone.
Even
that
made the team.
No, can and he's such a stiff.
Could you imagine drafting a freaking kicker in the fifth round and he doesn't even make the roster?
And he's such a stiff, he doesn't even make the roster. And
he gave you PR hell for 2 days for no reason.
Oh, for much longer than that, Curtis. And it gave everyone else a chance to be like, oh, well, I haven't clutched at my Patriot pearls in a long time. And everyone was complaining that Patriots are the most.
Is Dale on?
No, Dale's actually just getting his COVID figure straight from Monday's Bruins report. I jest. We all love each other. It's one big happy family. The noise that would be made by Micah Parsons. I think that it's the Jeremiah Owusu, JOK, the linebacker from Notre Dame. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pats had their pick and Bill was set on taking a linebacker to replace Hightower. If he took a safer pick, but still somebody that, you know, they would say like, okay, he's a first round talent, but we'll see. We had a lot of callers yesterday on Dale and Keefe, guys, who started to believe in what I was saying and buy into my idea that Bill's not going to spend a lot of money on offense and that he's going to invest heavily in the draft and free agency in the defense. And he's going to try to build the defense first before he throws big cash at an offense that he's uncertain about.
Might be a good idea based on Hunter Henry's comment from yesterday. He seems to be off the list at this point.
Ooh, what did he say? Ooh, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Basically just said he's going somewhere where there's a good quarterback. He wants a good quarterback to play with, which right now.
Oh, sorry. Hunter Henry wants a quarterback? Excuse Mr. Fancy Pants.
And I just Googled off-field concerns Micah Parsons, and I got like 500 replies stories, and one of them says that the Dolphins might take him off their board entirely. Because of these reports, there's a Fox 56, I guess a college station Fox affiliate, that details a lot of the off-field issues that he had, and the speculation is that some of the coaches may have covered up a lot of the behavior.
Curtis, now you're a big college football guy. Have you ever been out to Happy Valley?
I have not. I would love. I've never been to a Big Ten game.
You should definitely go. You should do yourself a favor. Go to like go to the Minnesota versus Wisconsin game. Either go to Camp Randall or go to Minnesota. The axe battle that they do every year. Go to Ohio State or Michigan.
The battle for Paul Bunyan's axe.
Yes. Oh, an incredible time. And the mid, even East Lansing. Sparty is a great take
as well. Oh, God, I do not want to go to East Lansing. That looks like hell.
I got to be honest. Happy Valley is borderline terrifying.
It really?
There's 4 hours. Yeah. There's nothing in any direction. And it's like this cult out there. I swear to God, it is.
I've spent many a weekend there. It is strange.
Right? Ken, am I right? Yeah. It's weird, right?
It is bizarre. Yeah.
So it's just
neighboring farmlands.
Nothing nearby.
I mean, Altoona. But not,
isn't there a minor league team in Altoona?
Yeah. Altoona Curve.
All right.
Yes, when the only thing you have going for you is a town that's named after one of the five best Jets receivers in history, there ain't much going on out there.
All right, looking forward to the second episode of Fitzy and Mego. Megan Ottolini joins you next. Have a good show, Fitz, and we appreciate the crossover.
See you, Nick.
See you next week, Curtis. I'll see you Monday, actually, on the Great Good Morning Show.
See you Monday.
See you, Nick.